The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 8, text number 6, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on January 22, 2007, in Nausori, Fiji.
So tonight we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 8, text number 6. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yang yang vapi smaran bhavam chajant yante kalevaram tang tamme vaiti kaunteya sadatad bhava bhavitaha. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. Purport. The process of changing one's nature at the critical moment of death is here explained. A person who at the end of his life quits his body thinking of Krishna attains the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. But it is not true that a person who thinks of something other than Krishna attains the same transcendental state. This is a point we should note very carefully. How can one die in the proper state of mind? Maharaj Bharata, although a great personality, thought of a deer at the end of his life, and so in his next life he was transferred into the body of a deer. Although as a deer he remembered his past activities, he had to accept that animal body. Of course, one's thoughts during the course of one's life accumulate to influence one's thoughts at the moment of death. So this life creates one's next life. If in one's present life one lives in the mode of goodness and always thinks of Krishna, it is possible for one to remember Krishna at the end of one's life. That will help one to be transferred to the transcendental nature of Krishna. If one is transcendentally absorbed in Krishna's service, then his next body will be transcendental spiritual, not material. And therefore, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, is the best process for successfully changing one's status of being at the end of one's life. Om Ajnanati Marandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. Srila Prabhupada makes a point here. He says that we should note very carefully. And Prabhupada is making a statement like that, that this point should be noted very carefully. What does that mean? That means we should note the point very carefully. And what is the point? A person who quits his body thinking of Krishna attains the nature of the Supreme Lord, but it is not true that a person who thinks of something other than Krishna attains the same transcendental state. And what example does Prabhupada give? He gives the example of a devotee who didn't think of Krishna at the time of death and had to take brothers or two. So the point is, we should not think, well, I have on tilak, I have neck beads, I become initiated, so I'm a devotee and I'm going back to Godhead. It's not automatic. One has to qualify oneself by remembering Krishna at the time of death. So we can, as each one of us can ask ourselves, do we remember Krishna at each and every moment? Some devotees are honestly shaking their heads, no. What is that? What if we were to die at that moment? Whatever was there, that's where we'll go. You see. So this means we have to raise our standards. We have to come to a higher standard of Krishna consciousness. Right now, this is called quasi-Krishna consciousness or semi-Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we're Krishna conscious, sometimes we're not. You see. That's a dangerous position we're in right now. In some ways it's like the yogis. If they pass away at the wrong time, they're in trouble. In some ways, we're like the yogis. You know, the neophyte devotee is in a similar situation to the yogi. He has to be lucky to be Krishna conscious at the time of death. You know, there's all facility that, you know, we know we're going to leave the body and all the devotees are coming, they're reading Krishna book to us, and there's kirtan, you know, that's a good situation. What happens if we're caught unprepared? A traffic accident, a heart attack. It's like one of our members in Bahrain is a surgeon, an anesthesiologist, wasn't it? He was giving anesthesia to a patient and he died in the operating room. And all the doctors could not save him. He's right there with so many doctors around and all the hospital equipment. He died in the hospital while he was treating a patient. He died, you see. So, we don't know when that moment of death will come. Some say, well, don't talk about it. You Hare Krishna people, you're so morbid. You're so negative. Why are you talking about these things? Better just enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. You see? But that is not a very intelligent thing. If you had a doctor that every time you went to him and he did checked you up, he always said, oh, you're in good shape. Even if you weren't in good shape, he always told you you were in good shape. Would you like such a doctor? Would you trust such a doctor? No. He's not reliable. He's not being honest with you. Because of that dishonesty, he could kill you. Do you have some disease that requires treatment and he's not telling you? So now you're in grave danger with such a doctor. So the so-called gurus, the so-called leaders of the material society, they don't tell the facts of life that have to be heard. Therefore, they are putting the citizens into great danger. We Hare Krishna people, we tell the real facts. You see, the death can come at any time. So be prepared for it right now. You see, we tell the real facts. And because we tell the real facts, therefore, as Krishna is the best friend, Suhridam Sarvabhutanam, the devotee of the Lord is your best friend. Actually, he's your best friend. Because he's telling you the reality. The fact is that we have achieved this human form after transmigrating through 8,400,000 species of life. It is a very, very, very rare opportunity to awaken our dormant, enlightened consciousness, which is currently sleeping within. If we do not utilize this human form of life for that purpose, it is the greatest tragedy. It is the greatest calamity. It is the greatest disaster. You see? So the devotee of the Lord who brings this information to you is truly your best friend. You've never had such a good friend as the devotee of the Lord, you see. So those of us who have made the commitment to becoming devotees, how did that happen? Some devotee took the time and trouble to tell us the truth, you see. Even though maybe we didn't want to hear it at the time. But some devotee of the Lord took the time and trouble to compassionately tell us the truth. And it woke us up. We felt the love of that devotee. We felt the compassion of that devotee. And we came to our senses. And we took to the pathway of Krishna consciousness. So those of you tonight who have not yet, who are just guests here, who have not made this commitment, kindly try to understand that you have a very advantageous position in the human form. Out of all the different species of life, you have a choice where you want to go in your next life. The animals have no choice. The plants have no choice. The fish, the birds, the snails, they have no choice. But the human being is endowed with the power to choose what he will be in his next life. By cultivating the proper thoughts about God, Krishna, you see. By cultivating Krishna consciousness throughout this lifetime, then you're guaranteed that you will get your next body in the spiritual world with God. Be a personal associate of God in the spiritual world. That's what it'll be. That'll be the result. So this is a very good program. This is a very, very good program. One has to practice. Just like sometimes someone may compete to... They have these piano competitions. Big, big competitions. International competitions. And the winner becomes famous overnight and does a world concert tour. So, one school teacher, he was competing to this. He would come home from school and he would practice for hours and hours and hours on the piano. Why? So that every piece that he was playing, he could play it perfectly. Even if he was under pressure of the contest, he would be so practiced that even under a difficult situation, he could play every note perfectly and not make any mistake. And do it with feeling also. So Krishna consciousness is something like that. We're practicing how to stay fixed in Krishna consciousness. So even if we're under stress, even if we're under pressure at the moment of death, we're so well trained we can perform well. We can show Krishna, yes. I can keep my mind fixed on you. It's not going to waver. You see. This is why Prabhupada told me in one letter, he said, disciple means discipline. What does the disciple discipline? The disciple disciplines the mind, and disciplines the senses, fully disciplines all of the pushings, vacha vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udaro pasta vegam, etan vetan yo vishaheta derva, sarvam vimam vritivim shishishyat. He controls mind, words, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals. You see? These six pushings are screaming at us. Give me, give me, give me. You see? Give me gratification, give me gratification. But the devotee becomes very expert at saying, nope, Can't have it. Forget it. Just like our Haridas Thakur, he was very expert at this denying business. He did it very tactfully. He was very famous, actually. He was Muslim. He was from Muslim community, but he became a chanter of Hare Krishna mantra. And that can be a problem. Even recently, I have one student in Malaysia. He's a Hindu by birth, but as chance had it, he fell in love with a Muslim woman. And in Malaysia, you can't marry a Muslim woman unless you convert to becoming a Muslim. That means you get a new name, you get a new ID. In Malaysia, if you're a Hindu, you have a certain type of ID card. If you're a Muslim, you have an ID card. If you're a converted Muslim from the Hindu community, you have a special ID card. You see. So, he became a Muslim so he could marry this woman. And then he realized that he made a big mistake. He doesn't want to give up the woman, but he wants to be a Hindu again and practice Hare Krishna and do all these kind of things. But if he is seen walking into a Hindu temple, he will be killed. That's not the law, but that's the unofficial thing that they will do to him. The Muslim community will kill him. And no one will say anything. He'll be killed if he's seen walking into a Hindu temple. The Hindus are allowed to go. But a Hindu became a Muslim, if he goes, he'll be killed. So he came to the temple, but in a distant city. From the body, you can't tell. And if he doesn't show anybody his ID, and it's in a city where he's a stranger, he came to meet me in a distant city from his hometown. There it was safe to him, because no one knew who he was. It was safe for him to come. So it wasn't quite that dangerous in those days, but it was still a problem because he was a Muslim and now he was chanting Hare Krishna, Haridas Thakur. But it actually became quite dangerous for him because he became a famous Vaishnava saint. That everyone was glorifying him. He became a celebrity, a spiritual celebrity. That became a problem. You see. That became a problem because you can imagine how much the Muslims were ruling that time, how much they were disturbed that one of our men has become a Hindu saint. I mean, that was just too much. They said, we can't allow this to go on. We have to finish him off. So we'll get one prostitute and we'll send the most beautiful prostitute in the whole kingdom. We'll send this beautiful young girl there. And when he's chanting in the dead of night, she will go in and lure him. And we will be hiding in the bushes so we can catch him in the act when they're having sex. See? We had it all planned out. So this girl comes in, she takes off all her clothes. I mean, she was really going after him, big time. She was dancing in front of him, naked. But he's simply sitting there, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And the girl says, Hare Das, I must have you, I must have you, I must have you. She was trying to, and she said, that's all right. You let me finish my rounds, and then I will satisfy your desire. Let me finish my prescribed mala. He was chanting 300,000 names daily. So let me finish my prescribed. It's about 190, or somewhere around 200 rounds. A nice daily vow. Somewhere around 200 rounds every day. Let me finish my japa, young lady, and then I will satisfy your desire. I don't want to see you so disturbed. Let me finish my rounds and then I will satisfy you. So she's waiting, 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 waiting. And finally she falls asleep. And she wakes up. He says, I'm so sorry I didn't satisfy you last night. You see, I didn't finish my rounds yet. But you come tonight and surely I will satisfy you. So again he's chanting. and she's waiting, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. And you know what happened? Can you guess what happened? The same thing happened again. The girl is waiting when she can have sexual union with the saint. And he says, as soon as I finish my rounds. But he didn't finish his round. And again she falls asleep. And the next morning he says, I'm so sorry. Two nights now I've failed to satisfy you. If you come tonight, I will surely satisfy you tonight. You see. So that night again she comes back. And she told all the Muslim leaders, tonight it will happen. It will happen tonight for sure. So everybody was ready to catch him in the act. So they could say, just see, you know, he's a hypocrite. He's not really a sadhu and can spoil his name amongst the Hindu community so they wouldn't worship him anymore as a saint. They had it all. They were all ready to, you know, to spoil the name of Haridas. They were just waiting to catch him in the act. So, again, he's chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now she's sitting there for 3 days, you know, nothing to do. She didn't have an iPod to listen to, or, you know, she's just sitting there hearing him chant. And, you know, she's getting bored of just doing nothing, so after a while she just kind of, you know, starts chanting along with him. Kind of make mocking him, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you know. But she, the more she keeps chanting, it's having an impact on her consciousness. And finally she comes to this realization that she starts to relish the holy name. She starts to experience the son of Krishna Bhakti begins to rise in her heart from hearing him chanting and from chanting herself. And then she realizes, oh my God, what sort of a demon am I? Here is a great saint. I was trying to pollute him. She just started crying. She fell at his feet. She begged forgiveness. And you can imagine when all the Muslim leaders are going, oh my God, what happened? Maybe how disappointed they were. You know, they were going to catch him in the act. And now the prostitute becomes a devotee also. Actually, she surrendered to his lotus feet. She went and got all of her, she distributed all of her wealth to the Brahmins, and she came there, surrendered at his lotus feet, shaved her head. She took the same vow of 300,000 names daily. And the Krishna Das, I mean, did Haridas think, well, now I can have a nice devotee wife. We can live in the hut together and chant, we can have a family. No. He gave her the hut and headed out, sannyas. All right, you can have the hut. It's all yours. My bhajan kutir is now yours. Hare Krishna. And he headed out to the next village or wherever to spread the holy names to more and more places. So, the mind may be like that prostitute, you see, trying to allure us away from Krishna. But we have to be so expert that, yes, my dear senses, I know you want to be gratified. My dear mind, my dear talking propensity, my dear anger, my dear tongue, my dear belly, my dear genitals, I know you want to be satisfied. You just sit patiently for a while and let me finish my bhakti. And then when I am done, then I will gratify you, no problem. See. This way you can be diplomatic with your senses. Yes, yes, I will give you whatever you want, but let me just finish my bhakti first. But then you never get finished with your bhakti. You just keep telling the senses. I've seen one time I was going preaching with our Giriraj Maharaj, very nice sannyasi, Giriraj Maharaj, in Bombay, now Mumbai. He took me out preaching with him one day. He was making appointments for life membership to meet with aristocratic Indian gentlemen to sign them up as life members of ISKCON. So he was invited to a wedding. So he thought that all the high class people will be there. I'll go down to everybody at the wedding and book appointments. So he was doing that. And they kept saying, the host kept saying, Maharaj, Maharaj, come and have the dinner. Of course it wasn't prasadam. But come, it was vegetarian. He said, come and have the dinner. Come on. Sit. He said, yes. Ek minute, just now coming. And then he would go and book a few more appointments. I was watching the whole evening. It was amazing. There was a huge hall filled up with people. And he was just working him with great expertise. He was very, very expert. That's why Prabhupada made him the president in Bombay, because he was so expert at signing up life members. Really, really expert. It was amazing to watch him. And I was just in awe watching him going from one to the next. Every time he'd book an appointment, without fail, he'd booking one appointment after another one after another one. And the host kept saying, Maharaj, Maharaj, come and take the dinner. He says, yes, ek minute, just now coming. And again, signing up more. Finally, the hall was empty. Everybody was gone. It was just the host and Maharaj. And still he didn't, at the end, he didn't even take the dinner. But he made one heck of a lot of appointments for life membership preaching. And he must have signed up a lot of life members from that also. So in this way, even if the senses are screaming, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Say, yes. Ek minute. Let me finish my bhakti first, and then I will give you whatever you want. You see? Whatever you want. Just wait. Just now. Just wait a few minutes. Ek minute. You see? In this way, we have to be very, very expert at keeping the senses subdued. Just like the mother is very expert at keeping the children in line. So they don't get too wild. You see, the expert mother knows how to keep the children in line. If the mother is not expert, the kids run wild. Complete chaos. But a mother who is expert, she knows the yard, how to keep the children always nicely engaged, you see. So we have to be like that expert mother. Our senses are like the children, and we have to be like the expert mother who can keep those senses always nicely engaged. For what purpose? To keep them fixed in Krishna consciousness. So, we are practiced to always remain in Krishna consciousness. So that when that final exam for the course, what is the course? Life 101. When the final exam comes, called death, and say, you'll pass the exam. What happens if you fail the exam? If you're not Krishna conscious, you have to take the course again? So why not study well, practice well, and pass the course and go back to Godhead? And that is our program. This Hare Krishna movement is a training program to train you so you can graduate and move on to the next level, the spiritual world. You can graduate, you see. You've come all the way through these various levels. Now you've come to the human form. In normal education, there are not so many levels. In the U.S., we call elementary school, that's 6 grades. And there's middle school and high school, that's another 6 grades. And then the university is 4 levels for bachelor's degrees. So, that's 12 plus 4, that's 16 right there. Just get a bachelor's degree, 16 levels. But the levels we've gone through to get this human form is much more than 16 levels. We've gone through 8,400,000 different levels to get to this human form. So do you think if we've come this far, don't you think it would make good sense to continue going the rest of the way? 8,400,000 species we've come through to get this human form. Wouldn't it be intelligent to continue going forward? Yes, it would be. So we want to teach you how to go forward now, you see. You've come all the way to the human form. Now we want to show you how to go to the next step in evolution. The next step in evolution is to regain the original spiritual form. Some people think, well, the next step in evolution is to get out of Fiji. You see. But actually, that is not. The next step in evolution is to go back to home, back to Godhead. And one should take whatever situation is most favorable for doing that. That should be the criterion. Where am I best situated? What is my best situation to be in to facilitate my Krishna consciousness? That should be the focus, not our material sense gratification. Our primary focus should be, what is the best situation for me to be in so that I can become fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day? Because if we train ourselves in that way, then we're guaranteed to be successful at the time of death. Punar janma vidyate abrahma bhuvanaloka punaravartinarjuna mam upechyata kaunteya punar janma vidyate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, they're all places of misery. I don't care if you're in Fiji, Australia, New Zealand, United States, France, Germany, England, wherever you may be, it is simply misery. It's all miserable. There's no such place in this material world which is not miserable. Every single place here is miserable. Sometimes we think, well, the grass is green on the other side of the fence. People in Fiji are thinking of, how can I get out of Fiji? People who are outside of Fiji are thinking, when can I go and be in Fiji? You've seen in the cow field, there's one fence. One cow is eating the grass, sticks his head through the fence this way to eat the grass on the other side. And the cow here is sticking his head through the fence to eat the grass on this side. And I guarantee if those cows jump the fence to go to the other side, then after a while they would again stick their head through to eat on the other side of the fence. You see? So this is not a very intelligent thing. It's not a very intelligent thing. Human life is meant for intelligence. One should understand whatever arrangement God has made for me, that is all right. Let me take that arrangement and use everything that is I have been given in His service. That's all. Whatever arrangement He has made, let me accept that and use everything in His service. And then our life will become perfect because we'll be fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness and we won't have to take birth again in this material world. So we can ask now if there's any questions. And this is what attracts me to come back again, if there's question. Because that means you really heard and it really mattered to you what I said. But if there's no questions, then I'm thinking, well, they must have just been wondering, when is Prasadam? And if we ask questions, it'll make Prasadam later. So I better not ask anything, because I'm hungry. Yes. Thank you very much. His question is, why do we have so much material desire? Desire is natural. One cannot avoid desire. The reason we are full of material desires is that we have forgotten what is the meaning of spiritual desires. in the spiritual world, everyone is full of desire. They are thinking, how can I please Krishna? How can I please Krishna in this way? How that everyone is just full of desire in Krishna's service. There's no lacking of desire. Everyone is full of desire. And there are even trees there called kalpa vriksha, which satisfy all desires. So the spiritual world is not devoid of desires. Otherwise, how there could be desire trees that fulfill all desires? Of course, those desires are purely spiritual. They are all in the service of Krishna. So the reason we are full of material desires right now is our nature is to be full of desires, and if we're not Krishna conscious, then we must be full of material desires. So how do you get rid of the material desires? Do you just say, try to deny them? That's not a very effective system. No more material desires. 18, 18, 18, 18. Is that a very effective system? No. That system doesn't work. I will deny my material desires. Just like my illustrious godbrother, Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, he gives the story before he joined our society. He was trying to deny all desires. He was living in the forest eating only brown rice. And then he couldn't act. Sometimes it was more than he can handle. He would come into the city and go to an ice cream parlor and just eat one ice cream after another ice cream after another ice cream. You see, he was trying to deny material desire, but because he had no spiritual desire, it was artificial. But then when he found Krishna consciousness, then he became, we can see that Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami, he was full of unlimited spiritual desires for pushing forward this movement. So in this way, all material desires were completely gone. So if we simply try to deny material desire, like he did before he became a devotee, it's not effective. You deny, you deny, you deny, until finally you just snap and you go wild again on material desires. But if you can be full of spiritual desires, you see, then those material desires, they will be gone. You have so many, I want to do this for Krishna, I want to do that for Krishna. The devotee's heart must be full of unlimited things that he wants to do for Krishna. He's just wondering, where is the time? 24 hours a day is not enough time to do all the things that I want to do for Krishna. I want to learn verses, I want to become an expert mridanga player, harmonium, I want to be an expert book distributor, I want to be an expert manager, I want to make 500 devotees. I want to collect unlimited money so we can build unlimited temples. I want to make all of Fiji Krishna conscious so we can, Prabhupada's prediction can come true, that, or his suggestion, whatever you call it, that Fiji could become the first Krishna conscious country in the world. We should just be so full of spiritual desires, you see. And the reason we're so full of material desires right now is we haven't filled our heart up with spiritual desires. We have the facility now. By joining Prabhupada's movement and reading these books. I mean, here's one example. Prabhupada told us in Bombay. He said, the whole world is being managed by rogues and demons. Now you make your life successful and you take the management. So you ever had a desire to be a big leader? Then take the management of the world. You see? Talk about a big desire. Talk about desire. To try to bring everyone on this planet under your influence by becoming a pure devotee and preaching Krishna consciousness. I mean, there's so much scope for spiritual desires in this movement. Prabhupada said a Krishna conscious businessman, he can aspire to be the wealthiest businessman in the world. I mean, there's... or a Krishna conscious politician, he can aspire to be the world leader and rule the whole world, you see. So for Krishna's in Krishna's service, we can have unlimited desires. So we must learn how to, we must fill our heart up with spiritual desires. That's all. The only reason we're flooded with material desires now is we have not filled our heart with spiritual desires. So now you have to just have so many things you want to do for Krishna, so many things you want to do for Guru, that there's just 24 hours a day just isn't enough, and you just wish you had at least 35 hours a day to work with, you see. Prabhupada's desire that to flood the planet with Krishna consciousness. No matter how many books he would distribute, he'd say, now double it. Whatever amount of books you've done that is very good, now you must double that number. Prabhupada never said, okay, that's enough now. That's good, you've done very good, now we can just relax. No, now do twice as much. You distributed 500,000 books, now do 1,000,000. You've done 1,000,000 books, now distributed 2,000,000 books. You've opened a temple in Suva, now open one somewhere else. You've made 500 devotees, now make 500 more devotees, you see. You have 5 restaurants that are making profit, now open 10 more, you see. In this way, Prabhupada wants us to expand. Put McDonald's out of business. McKrishna's vegetarian hamburgers. Why not? You see, we have to put all of these, we have to just have unlimited spiritual desires. We have so much going for us in this Krishna consciousness movement. We are visiting Byron Bay, one of the devotees, I don't know her name, but she's from Fiji. She opened a restaurant in Byron Bay, Australia. And she thought, well, you know, we'll just call it the Cardamom Pod Vegetarian Restaurant. It was prasadam, but she didn't advertise that it was had anything to do with Krishna. She was thinking they might not like it because it's religious. But one of the devotees told her, he said, Mataji, you got to advertise this Hare Krishna. So she said, all right, Cardamom Pod, and she put Hare Krishna Vegetarian Restaurant. And guess what happened? The business doubled overnight. The business doubled. Twice as many customers just by putting Hare Krishna on the sign out front. That one little thing doubled her business, you see. So actually, we have a lot going for this in this Krishna consciousness movement, in spite of all the mistakes and difficulties we've had because of not doing everything that Prabhupada wanted us to do. We have a ton of things in our favor. We just have to utilize the assets we have in an intelligent way, and then we can flood this whole planet with Krishna consciousness. Every man, woman, and child on the face of this planet will join this movement. That day will come. That's predicted in the scriptures. Sat janna durjana pangu jada andagana prema vanyaya dubaila jagatara janna. It's not if it's going to happen, it's when it's going to happen. That's the question. And the more we are focused on Krishna consciousness, the more we are enthusiastic to preach this Krishna consciousness and practice it purely, the more we are focused on having strong, loving relationships with each other, because that's the foundation of this movement. The more we focus on all of these things, the faster we will see that day comes when the entire planet becomes Krishna conscious. And the happy days of Bhagavad Dharma will be fully manifested once again. And the whole planet will be like a Satya Yuga. It's predicted for 10,000 years in the Kali Yuga there will be a Chaitanya era. It's predicted. Prabhupada mentions it in his purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There will be a 10,000 year period when Krishna consciousness will inundate the world. So, it began 500 years ago with the advent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now let's push it forward. Every minute, with our every thought, our every word, and our every deed, let's keep pushing it forward, pushing it forward, pushing it forward, so that everyone can become happy. Is there anybody here who would prefer to be miserable? No, we would all like to be. Wouldn't you like to be happy? Would you prefer happiness or misery? What do you like better, being happy or miserable? That is the answer. What do you like? Happiness or misery? What is it? You can just shake your head, yes or no. You like to be happy? Yes, shake your head, yes or no. Okay, yes, very good. So, here's a sample of the world population. This nice boy, he has come tonight to hear about Krishna consciousness. He's a sample of the world population. And he wants to be happy. They say that you can judge a pot of rice by one grain. So he is a sample of the world population. And he wants to be happy. He doesn't want to be miserable, you see. So that is the desire of everyone. The difficulty is they don't know how to be happy. They think it's by money. They think it's by power. They think it's by prestige. But the fact is these things don't make anyone happy. They never did. They never will. Forget it. You cannot be happy by money. You can't be happy by power. You can't be happy by prestige. And what is the proof? The people who have the money, who have the power, who have the prestige, they are miserable. That's a fact. They're miserable. They take to drugs. They take to all sorts of sinful activities because they're not satisfied. But all we have to do is become Krishna conscious by chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then we will become happy. It's a very simple thing. Surrender to Krishna, beginning with the tongue. Tasting prasadam and chanting Hare Krishna mantra. So, are there any more questions? Thank you very much. You'll be the first one to get the Maha Prasadam. Are there any more questions? Yeah.
How can we increase the loving relationship among the devotees?
This is the most wonderful question. Jai Ram Prabhu says, how can we increase the loving relationships amongst the devotees? I've been saying again and again that more important than building temples is building relationships. Because if there's no relationships, you may have a very big temple building, but it'll be like a ghost town. It'll be deserted. It'll be useless. Cobwebs everywhere, you know. But we have strong loving relationships, then we can be chanting in the forest like the devotees were during the Soviet era in Russia. They had to hide in the forest to have kirtan because the KGB would catch them and arrest them. They had strong loving relationships. They were willing to die for the sake of Krishna consciousness movement. They were so dedicated. So, how do we have these strong loving relationships? The biggest impediment we have that prevents these strong loving relationships is our pride. I am great. You see? And what do we do to try to establish I am great? We look at the other devotees, we think, well, this devotee has this fault, and that devotee has that fault, and that devotee has that fault, and that devotee has that fault. We try to find fault with all the devotees. The leader has this fault. Pujari has this fault. We try to find fault with all the devotees so we can think, I am great. This is a problem because all you're doing is meditating on faults. So the result is you're full of faults because all you're meditating on is faults. And you don't build any good relationships when you're finding fault with others. So the key is, instead of just thinking, well, I can't find fault, I better not find fault. No, look for the good. go at it in a positive way, try to see in each and every devotee the good qualities of this devotee. That's a very important thing. Try to see the good quality in every devotee, the wonderful, nice qualities of a devotee. Try to find something that you like about that person. Even if you have strong disagreements on many issues with a particular devotee, try to find something about him that you truly like. You see? If you like the other devotees, I guarantee you, they will like you. Nobody likes someone who doesn't like them, unless they're, you know, an advanced devotee. They know how to do that. So, the key is just learn how to like everyone. Find something nice about every single devotee. Try to appreciate every single devotee, and they will appreciate you if you appreciate them. In this way, the strong, loving relationships will develop. And it is not just theoretical, but it's by practical actions, as described in the Upadeshamrita. You give gifts to the devotees, you give shad to the devotees, and you reveal your mind to the devotees. And then you accept gifts from the devotees. You accept the prasad when the devotees serve you. And you listen when the devotee reveals his mind to you. You be willing to hear the other devotee. Not that whenever you're with devotees, all you do is brag about yourself and you can't hear anyone else. You see. God gave us how many ears and how many mouths? You see, we have twice as many ears as we do mouth. We have one mouth and two ears. We should spend twice as much time listening. You see. That is the qualification to become an expert preacher, is to become a very, very good hearer. So if you want to build relationships, you have to be more eager to hear what that devotee has to say than you are to give your 2 cents worth. You see? More eager to hear. That's the way to build a relationship. You will be very eager to hear what that person has to say. That's the key. Be a good listener. If we all become good listeners, I guarantee you all the problems in this movement will go away. If all learn the art of being good listeners, then everything will work. It will work very, very nicely. The person who is most qualified to speak is that person who is the best listener. Not the person who can give who knows the most verses, or who can spin the most intricate philosophical web. That is not the qualified speaker, the most qualified speaker. The most qualified speaker is that person who can listen better to what the other devotees have to say. He can deeply hear, listen, and understand their feelings. Very deeply understand their feelings. And see, that is the person who is most qualified to speak. So if you want to be a qualified preacher, we have to have strong, loving relationships. Prabhupada was the most qualified speaker, and he was the most loving person. That should be noted. Everyone loved Prabhupada because Prabhupada loved everyone. Even someone, the devotees didn't like him. You know, he became offensive. He went away. The devotees don't want to even see him. But he comes back, and Prabhupada immediately, "You come sit with me." You see, Prabhupada immediately wanted to give all loving kindness, even though he had been offensive in so many ways. This was Prabhupada's mood, showering mercy on everyone. Even if a devotee is mistreated, he wants to give love. Isn't this what Lord Jesus did? They nailed him to a cross, they jabbed a spear in his side, and they just left him hanging on the cross to die with no food, no water, bleeding. And what did he say? "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." You see? That's someone who is giving love. You see? He's being given hate and he's repaying hate with love. So sometimes a neophyte devotee may deal with us in a hateful way or an envious way. So how should one do? You reciprocate with love. If we all learn how to reciprocate with love, even if a devotee mistreats me sometimes, even if I'm mistreated by the devotees, if I repay that with love, that will create an atmosphere where everyone will gradually do that. It's a very simple formula. If you want to make Fiji the first Krishna conscious country in the world, which Prabhupada said it could be, then all you have to do is create an atmosphere of pure loving relationships throughout the entire community of devotees in this island, on these islands. That even if I'm mistreated by a devotee, I'll still give him my love. You see? Even if I'm mistreated by a devotee, I will still give that devotee my love. If we create this kind of a mood in our community, then those who are maybe mistreating, they will gradually get the message. They will see that there's more nectar in being a loving, kind-hearted Vaishnava than there is being a proud, arrogant, Kanishta Adhikari devotee who's thinking, I'm the greatest and everyone else is below me. The more we advance in Krishna consciousness, the more we feel the others are higher than me. Isn't that why Prabhupada taught us, you call the other devotees Prabhu? Prabhupada even sometimes referred to the Matajis as Prabhu also. So it's not that only the men are Prabhu, but actually everyone is Prabhu. Everyone is master. Whether they're male or female, everyone is our master. We are the servant of everyone. So if we humbly bow down at the feet of the Vaishnavas, we need to offer obeisances more to each other than we do. We don't offer obeisances enough. That's one thing. We don't offer obeisances enough. We take each other for granted. We don't realize that I am the most fortunate person in all the three worlds, that I have been allowed to enter into the association of the Vaishnavas, even though I should be kicked out of this Sangha because of my offenses. We have to understand how fortunate we are to be allowed into the company of devotees. And we should be gratefully bowing down at their feet as much as possible. So these are some of the understandings and how we can build relationships. I guarantee you, if you will build these loving relationships, the whole world will join this movement. If we really build these relationships, and strictly according to Rupa Goswami's directions, the whole world will come running to join this movement because they don't have that loving relationship. All their love is superficial. I will scratch your back if you'll scratch mine. And as soon as there's some interruption, immediately divorce. You see. There's no love in the material world. There's simply lust going on in the name of love. But here in Krishna consciousness, if we will follow the teachings of Prabhupada as they've been given to us, this is pure loving relationships. Without asking anything in return, simply wanting to give, 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 give. You see. That is the mood of Vrindavan. To give, to give, to give. Da, just like Jashoda, Kirti Da. You see, the Vrindavan has so many Das, those who give. But this material world, we see, no, there's no Das here. Everyone's taker, take, take, take. You see? So we have to be in the mood of giving. I want to serve you. How can I serve you? You see? That mood. How can I give service? Not that, oh yes, I will do this. Yeah, yes, 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 I'll do that for you, Prabhu. 2 days go by and it never gets done. You see, not like that. Yes, yeah, yes, yes, I'll be glad to do that for you. And then nothing ever happens. It's on the lips only. Not like that. Yes, Prabhu, I'll do that for you. And then I do it. I follow through. I keep my word. Not that I say and then I neglect. Some devotee needs something and I say, yes, 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 and then I never do it. You see, not like them. Now, yes, Prabhu, do it as soon as possible. If you really love someone, you have to show it by practical action. Simply on the lips is useless. It's hypocritical. To say I love, you know, to act on the lips as if I really care and then not to really do anything to prove it by practical actions. One has to prove it by practical actions. So, are there any other questions? Since time is moving on here, we'll go ahead and stop. And we thank you very much for your kind attention. Rajavidya, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.